should have your notice sheets, but just the additional notices for this week in the will of the Lord. Reminder that at 3 o'clock this afternoon we have a service at the Royal Court Care Home. Our brother David Marriott will be leading that service, so please do go along if you're able to. Tomorrow, Monday, Pastor will be in London at a series of meetings. We'll just ask that you could remember him and that time in your prayers, please. On Thursday, at 11:30 in the morning, we have the Gloucester Open Air meeting. So again, if you're able to make that time, please do go along. And then on Saturday, we have the TBS Persian New Testament launch. Pastor will be speaking at that. That's in London. If you would like to go, please see Pastor. There's also the Young Adults Conference in Devizes. If you would like further information on that, if you could please see Tom and Felicity. Next Lord's Day, the services are at the usual time of 11 o'clock and 6:30, and our pastor will be preaching, God willing. And the missionary offering for this week is the Middle East Reformed Fellowship. Thank you.
We commence our service. We will bow in silence, in prayer and reflection upon the Lord's mercies towards us in the past century or so, and the peace that we enjoy this day because of many who gave their lives. Let us keep silence. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, on this Lord's Day morning we come before Thee to remember Thee and Thy goodness towards us. We praise Thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank Thee that Thou art our strong tower of defense, that while all things seem to, in past generations, seem to crumble and there were many enemies around this nation and elsewhere, Thou didst save us and Thou didst keep our freedoms. And Lord, we give Thee thanks and praise Thee for those who did yield their lives for these things. We also give Thee thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy today, and those in various parts of the world are seeking to keep peace. But, O Lord, we recognize the fact that only Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace, that it is only through the gospel of the Savior men have peace with Thee, and then they have peace with one another. And so we pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst, in these times of great troubles, in these times when men's hearts fail them, that Thou wouldst visit even this nation mightily. This is a confused generation, full of doubts and uncertainties. And yet, O Lord, they have forsaken Thee, the fount of living waters. We ask, O God, yet Thou wouldst by the power of Thy Spirit work in hearts, even in us, O Lord. We pray that we might recognize and appreciate Thy providential hand upon us. When all things seem to be lost, yet Thou didst keep us. When there seemed to be immediate danger, Thou didst preserve us. And, O Lord, we give Thee all the glory and praise. We cannot depend on man, but we thank Thee for those men that Thou hast risen and Thou hast brought up and that Thou hast used. And so, Lord, we give Thee all the praise and ask that Thou wouldst also use us as a people for the truth. We ask these things then through Christ our Savior. Amen. We'll commence our worship by singing together hymn 249. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. 249.
Morning by morning, you can. morning's consecutive reading, we will turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. Acts 26. And we'll commence from verse 12. Here, the Apostle Paul continues to give his defense before King Agrippa, as he has been charged with causing trouble amongst the Jews. And so he bears witness of the gospel there. Acts 26 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul continues to say, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and they that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Amen. May God bless his word to each one of us. Well, here the Apostle Paul gives his defense of the fact that once he was a lost man, once he was an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, went about to arrest Christians and persecute them. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death. But now everything has changed. What has happened in him? What happens in people who once have no thought of God, or they have false ideas about God? You see the grace of God here? God works in the heart. God changes the heart. He turns rebels into friends. He turns unbelievers into those who now trust in Him. And it is our prayer too that that everyone here would trust in the Lord. This is our prayer that the Apostle Paul says to Agrippa. He says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. He says, I want others to be like me, a Christian. I want them to be converted too. And that's why we are called by the Lord to preach the gospel. Because through this thing that the world sees as being foolish, the preaching that God has ordained to save. So if you are wanting to know more about Jesus Christ and know how it is that you may find peace with Him and how to be a Christian, this is the best place to be, under the preaching of the Word of God. Not under a ministry that tells you jokes and tells you that you are all right and you go your way and all will be well and promise you things that are not true. Not in under any kind of ministry that entertains you, but something that brings you to the Word of God and reveals to you the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. And that's every one of us must trust. Well, may the Lord help us then in these things today. We'll continue in the worship of God by singing now Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Psalm 23.
Yeah.
Now let us all come before God in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father and gracious God, once again we come to Thee through Christ our Saviour and our Lord. We have gathered to praise Thy name. We have come to rejoice in the gospel of our salvation, the gospel that brings peace. Lord, we recognize that as there is war in this world amongst men, there is also a battle in hearts of men against Thee. We ask that Thou wouldst then send that Prince of Peace by the power of the Spirit, even amongst us, so that He might bring peace into our hearts. We give Thee thanks and praise Thee once again for keeping us as a nation. We are blessed in so many ways. And yet, O Lord, many do not acknowledge the blessings that are coming from Thy hand. Many are trusting in princes and in governments and parliaments and kings and princes. And yet, O Lord, our trust must be in Thee. Yet that has called us to pray for those in authority. And so we pray for the royal family and the queen, and ask that Thou wouldst protect them and preserve them, and that Thou wouldst work in their hearts, that they may also know Thee and love Thee and uphold Thy truth. We pray for the parliament and the various parties. We ask that Thou wouldst also guide them, and that Thou wouldst lead them and help them in all their decision makings and in the coming weeks, as much is being said and done against one another, so that they might gain power. We ask Thee that yet in all the confusion, Thou wouldst in Thy sovereign mercy place over us people who are mature, people who are godly, people who will not lead us further down the pit. We ask that Thou wouldst keep our and preserve for us our Christian liberties, and that we might continue it until Jesus Christ comes, be able to preach the gospel of our Savior. We ask, O Lord, that Thou wouldst bless us in this gathering this morning. Each one of us have different needs, and we ask that Thou wouldst use Thy word to powerfully speak. Remove all hindrances and barriers, we pray. May that saving faith descend from heaven into our hearts. May that love for Christ grow. And may we even for some, that they might for the first time experience the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. We pray for those who cannot be here with us, and especially we pray for Mr. and Mrs. Harris and others, O God. We pray that Thou wouldst watch over them. We ask that Thou wouldst bless all of Thy people. And O Lord, each one of us now, we ask Thee that Thou wouldst speak to our hearts through Thy word, and that we might love the Savior and adore Him and praise Him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, let us turn to now to our second reading. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And we'll commence our reading from verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Let us now continue in worship by singing hymn 1053, a familiar hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." 1053. Let us bow before the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, we give Thee thanks for Thy word. We thank Thee it leads us to that friend who sticks closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that by the power of Thy Spirit, Thou wouldst work in our hearts, that we might see Him, and for our hearts to run after Him. Bless then this gathering, because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our needs. We ask these things in His name. Amen. Amen. Our text is from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. About this friend that Solomon speaks about. At the latter part of verse 24, there is, he says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we were singing that hymn of Joseph Scriven. I wonder if you know the background to it. I'm sure you've heard about the background to this hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. He was born in a military family. His father was a captain, Captain John Scriven. He was born in the early 1800s, and he was destined to become another military man. And that was his aim, and so he went to study at Trinity College, Dublin. And while he was there, God spoke to him. God, through the power of the Bible and the preaching of the gospel, the Lord saved him. And the course of his life changed from that. After his studies finished, he was going to be married to his fiancée. But just the day before the wedding, his fiancée had an accident and she died. And then he was heartbroken. He left for Canada. And while he was in Canada, he began preaching the gospel to various military camps and various places. And then he met another woman, and they were to be married again. But then she fell sick. And he looked after her for a long, long time, as she was so unwell, but she never got any better. She also died. And it was just after then, as he was thinking about his life, being in God's hand, and who has been the closest to him, he penned these words, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." He knew this friend, Jesus Christ, that we want to speak about this morning. And you think about how you have many friends. I trust you have many friends. And yet none of them are like the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. This is real friend. This is a rare friend. And friends can be very scarce. There are many who will eat with us, many who will laugh with us, many who are there at the sunshine of our prosperity and health. But there are few who will stand by us in the days of darkness. Few who will love us when we are sick and helpless and poor and dying. Few, above all, who will care for our souls. The person who cares for your soul, my friends, is the greatest friend that you have. They may be rough with you, they may talk straight with you, you may not always agree with them, but if your soul, the care of your soul is the thing upon their hearts, they are your best of friends. Be it a husband, be it a wife, be it a family member, be it anyone in this place, they are your best of friends. They mean well for you. They surely pray for you. Do you want a real friend? An unfailing friend? An unchanging friend? An abiding friend? Well, this is the one that Solomon says, "I know this one. I know someone." He says, there is someone who is found like this. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ is called in the Gospels the friend of sinners. The friend of lost sinners. And if we were to trust in Him and repent of our sins, then He would be our friends too. Friend, there is a friend who sticketh
closer than a brother. A brother can cry with you. A brother can work with you, help you, share your storms of life. But my friends, it is Jesus Christ who wipes away all tears, the scripture says. A brother may pray with you, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ who answers the prayers. A brother may share all kinds of things in your life which are trials of your life, but it is Jesus Christ who calms the storms of our lives. A brother can die for you, but Jesus Christ rose for us. He lives for us. A brother can be a lawyer for you, and yet Jesus Christ is the one who sets us free. A brother even can carry our bodies to our dark graves. But Christ can carry your soul and bring our soul to that glorious home above in heaven. A brother can stand with you, but Jesus Christ stands for you. That's the kind of friend we are talking about. And here Solomon says, oh, there is one. There is someone. And the New Testament refers to him as Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our needs. He is the best of friends that we may have now and forever if we were to turn to him. So I want us to think a little about this. What does it mean by a friend here? There is a friend. Praise God for that. That there is a friend. That it doesn't say there may be a friend, but it says there is a friend. There's a sure word here. And I want us to ask the question, why do we need this friend? Why are we commending Jesus Christ to you? Well, for three simple reasons. And I've called it our past, our present, and our future. We need a true friend who was there in our past, who knows our past, and who is there now, and who will be there for our future. You think about your past, you think about your background to begin with. You look at your life. What do you see? What are the markers in your life? However old you are, if you're a child, well, you have got a few years to think about. And think about your past. What are the things that you enjoyed? What are the things that you're sad about? What are the things that are precious memories to you? Are there people in your life that spoke to you well and spoke to you about your soul and who were friendly towards you and who were kind towards you and they instructed you in spiritual things? That's what we are here about. We are here about talking about spiritual things. Did you have a mother who would pray for you? Do you have memories of a faithful minister or preacher who would preach to you the word of God and the gospel? Maybe in your past you made certain resolutions and you think about that as well and you think about all of those things. And those blessings that came to your life and you thought to yourself at the time when you were being blessed, I'm not worthy of the least of God's mercies. And I realize these are coming from God. I know, and maybe that's what you said to yourself. I know I ought to trust in Him, trust the Savior. But you didn't. And maybe the days have been going past very quickly. And you think about at times about the future. What will happen? How will you die? That death that is approaching. And my friends, we need a friend who was there in our past, who saw us in our past, who heard us in our past, who saw the needs that we had in our past. Do you know some of the things that you think about in your past and you think of it in a sad way? Because there were burdens in your life. There were regrets that you have. And the scripture calls all of those things that we did wrong in our past, that are sins. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this burden that people carry in their life. They don't know what to do about it and they bring it from their birth and the burden keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. The guilt is getting heavier and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, this friend that Solomon is talking about, he says, come unto me.
all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you have a great weight that you're carrying. You're heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll be your friend. The Savior also said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He says, why do you become a servant of sin? When you can have someone who will set you free. Is sin a burden to you? You look back at your life and you think, well, that's what I've been doing. I've been locked into certain things, certain kinds of habits. Do you know why? One of the reasons that the Lord saved the Apostle Paul. He was on that road to Damascus. He was on this road to do evil. It was simply this, that the Lord saved the Apostle Paul that he might go to the Gentiles, and that through his ministry and preaching of the gospel, they might, the scripture says, to receive forgiveness of sins. Because they were sinners, like we are. And that's what the Bible speaks about. It's not something that we often like to talk about, or people don't like to hear it. But the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, these words, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It says, there is not a righteous man, or a just man, or a perfect man, or a good man, who is alive on the earth, and does good and sins not. It says, there is nobody found who is perfect. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned. All of these things are in the Word of God. And my friends, this thing that we carry, this thing of our past that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, this guilt, this dark and damnable and defiling thing that the scripture calls it sin, lies in all of our hearts and upon all of our shoulders. And it stains our life. It's just dripping with all kinds of things that it stains everything in our lives. It is like when you open a jar of honey, and then you are very careful that it will not stick anywhere. But then you let a child to begin to put it on their toast, or if it is a jar of jam. And then you find it everywhere in the kitchen. It's places that you never thought of. You find it sticky all around. But this is like sin everywhere. You thought it will never come into this part of my life. You thought it will never affect me in this relationship. On these thoughts, how did they come even in the place where I am praising God? Things come into your mind in the midst of your prayers. You get distracted and you think, where did that come from? This is the thing, my friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of those things. Knows that its sin has stuck into all kinds of places you never thought of. The issue is, do you feel the burden of it? Do you feel that it is eating away at you? I read just yesterday about these ants in Africa. They're called the white ants. And what they do is that they would go, and a person can sit in a chair, and they quickly, a wooden chair, and they would quickly go and they would eat away. They only eat wood, it seems. They would eat away inside the legs of the chair, and the person may come and sit on the same chair the next day, and they would fall through because the whole structure has been emptied out and eaten out. And that's what, it's a picture of sin. We've got these ant sins all over us, and they're eating away. They need to be put out somehow. They need to be put to death. Praise God, this friend. There is this friend who sticks closer than a brother who has dealt with sin. We'll think about that. But I trust you have read something of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I often refer to him. But in that account, the story of this man, Christian, who has a burden on his back, and he's fleeing from the city of destruction. He wants to get rid of this thing from his back. What can he do? It is until he's being pointed by the evangelist to go to the cross. At the end, he arrives at the cross. There it is, that suddenly, as he sees the cross and what took place upon the cross, that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, this burden on his back falls off. It rolls away. It is gone forever. This guilt of it. And then he exclaims and he says, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre.
I'm sorry. He says, blessed rather the man that there was put to shame for me.
So here is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I am the best of friends. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You think about your past, and you think about as well the blessings that God has given to you. You are such a blessed people. You think about your daily blessings, the temporal blessings, the Bible refers to it. That every good gift, every perfect gift has been coming to you from your Father in heaven, and so many good things we have. Well, the normal things that we take for granted. We took the boiler in this chapel for granted last week, and then it broke. And so we were all worried, will people freeze to death today? And so we put out all these things around the chapel to heat up the room, and I think it is hotter than normal. So, but we take these things for granted, don't we? And then there are people around the world, even Christians, brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, they don't even have a building to meet. And they don't have any of these facilities that we have and what we enjoy. But these are all coming from God and blessings from the Lord. We are provided these things all richly to enjoy, the scripture says. And then you have the providential blessings, the spiritual blessings, things that has happened in your life, and you know God has intervened. You were preserved in some ways. You became very ill. They thought you may not last, but somehow you are here now. In certain situations, you thought, if I was only 1 minute early, I would have been in that situation. I would have been down this path. I would have been in the midst of that accident. That could have been me, you might say. And that will shock your being to the core at times. But there was someone, you say, someone who preserved me. Someone who has kept me. There's been a friend who has watched over me. So there is your past. We could think about that. But then your present. Now, we need a true friend who is in our present moment. Present life. There is a friend, he says. Not just there was a friend. There is a friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We live in troublous days. The world has always been in trouble. Since the fall of Adam into sin, trouble entered into the world. Sin entered into the world, and the fruit of sin is troubles. Troubles between man and God, troubles between people and people, wars and rumors of war, and this becomes worse and worse, the scripture says. There's international chaos, there's political chaos, there's confusion in this land. They don't know what to do. Everyone speaks, these politicians who speak so powerfully, it seems, confident in themselves. And yet they were saying the very opposite of it with the same force and with the same sort of confidence only 2 months ago. Things change very quickly, and you think, who can I trust? For whom shall I cast my vote? People are under pressure mentally. People are under pressure on all kinds of relationships, marriage relationships, friends, colleagues. You have it, don't you? You have, if you go out in certain places of work and you see the tension at times in the canteen area and in your office, and you think, what am I going to do about this matter? Why do people are like this over small things? And then we tell off the children about things. But adults do the same things. And there's tension everywhere. And The scripture says that there is a time, there are days, that when men's hearts are failing them for fear, that's why we need this friend, that's why we need this Savior, Jesus Christ. Now people have tried to define what a friend is. If I was to ask you, what is a friend? What would you say? A friend is someone who knows all about you and loves you just the same. Is that really a friend? Or another definition, a friend is one who strengthens you with his prayers, blesses you with his love, and encourages you with his hope. There was once a publication that said we would give a prize for the best definition for a friend. And This is what won the prize. A friend, the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ's definition of a friend goes far beyond any of these definitions. He's a friend who never changes. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, it says. There is no fickleness about him. And those who love him, he loves them to the end. There's never end to his love for them. You see the end of many friendships and relationships in this world. You see husbands leaving their wives. You see parents casting off their children. You see a man's word is no longer his bond. But the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. He has attributes. He has characteristics that only God has. And so as a friend, he has all of those attributes. And one of them is that he is never changing. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we can trust in him. We need help at all times, at present, at all times, in everyday living, in all of our trials, the spiritual trials, in all the temptations, in the things that Satan seeks to destroy and bring us to shame. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that we need now in this world. He is that high priest, the scripture says. High priest who has his people's names upon his heart, upon his shoulders, that he intercedes for them, he prays for them. And he's the one who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it is to be tempted. And that is why he says to you, he can say to us, I couldn't say that. No one else could say that to you. That's why he can say to you, come unto me. That's why he says that, walk with me, follow me. The reason is because he's saying to us, I know all about your life. I have been where you are in the temptations that you are facing, in the trials that you are facing, in the hungering and the thirsting. I know all about the pitfalls of life. And I can save you. I can sustain you. I can satisfy you. I can see you through all of these things. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. That's what we were singing of. Oh, our prayer should be, Lord, put these thoughts in my heart. Our prayer should be, Lord, help me to see this friend who sticks closer than any earthly friend. I need someone who is always being there, is going to be there. I read about an account about these two men just before the Second World War. They grew up together and then they were both listed to go and to fight in the First World War. They were shipped overseas together and they found themselves side by side in the trenches. And during one attack, one of the men was critically wounded and he was on the field and he was stuck to some barbed wires. And he couldn't get back into the trench and he was dying there. And his friend, he saw him, he could go and help him, but the sergeant said, no, you are not going to go. You will be shot, you will also die. But he said, but he's my friend. And when the sergeant had turned his face away for a few minutes, that man ran across and picked up his friend. And he was being shot at. And he came back into the trench. He was also mortally wounded. And the sergeant said, oh, what a waste. He is dead and you are dying. It was not worth it. And while this man was dying, he said, his response was this. Yes, sergeant, it was worth it. For when I got to him, his final words said, I knew you would come, Jim. And this is the point. It illustrates that the Lord Jesus Christ is that kind of friend and more, much more. Because he did not merely die for us, come for us, to die for us. But he rose again. He was mortally wounded. But he rose from the dead. He comes and he strengthens me now as the risen Savior. In the hour of temptation, He comes when I am lost and I'm confused. He comes as my guide, as my good shepherd, to lead me into better pastures. He comes when I have lost all of my friends. He comes to comfort me in the moment of sorrow. When family leaves, when even children die, He comes alongside us and He comforts us. No wonder the Apostle Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue. So why is it that many people hesitate? Why is it that many people are simply saying, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, but they don't actually themselves trust in the Lord? Here is this friend that we need now. We need Him because we need healing of our souls. We need Him because our soul has been affected so deeply, so thoroughly with sin that everything is broken. All the things that God has made us, it's been affected. So even our thoughts, even our thinking, even when we think we are thinking correctly and we have right ideas, we find ourselves many, many times, I was wrong. How many times have you been wrong? How many times have you had to say sorry? The very fact that we say sorry is acknowledgement of the fact that I thought wrongly, I said wrongly. My heart was not right about this matter. I did something, I made a decision that was wrong. And yet Jesus Christ is the one who comes and heals those people. And He is our wisdom. He is our knowledge. This world, these things are too big for us, too hard for us. We cannot go through life. Why is there so much mental breakdowns? And why is there so many heartaches and so many people cannot cope with life? You see, we have a society now that has been throwing Christianity out and throwing the Bible out. And so you have all of these issues that people have, which was not there 50 years ago, 60 years ago. The society, and this is the thing that sometimes even Christians, they fool themselves about it. They think about, because the society or culture still has certain kinds of structures, they think still it is all right inside. But the issue is, the people inside have changed. The house is there, the shell is there, but that family that was there is not there anymore. It's been replaced with totally different things. But then you look out from outside, it's all seems to be how it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. But the inside is gone. Inside is devoid of the things of God and Christianity. And so that's why then you have people within it falling apart in general. We need a friend now, but we need a friend in the future. We need a true friend who is also in our future. Not just someone who was there in our past or someone who was there in our life now. Well, there are people who are married here. You have friends here, maybe, or elsewhere, that they have known you for a long, long time. And they're with you right now. They've gone through many things together. But they will not always be with you. There will come a time that even the bond of marriage will come to an end when death comes. And so we need someone who stays with us, not just now, but forever. How do you face the future then? How do you face the future if you're alone? If you have no friends in the future, when you've gone from this world into the next? But here it says there is a friend. And this friend sticks with you. And it sticks close to you. The word here is to do with the building when mortar is used to bring two bricks together or two stones together. He says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He will stick to us and He's with us forever. You see, the future comes and there is death with it. The Bible says very clearly that the fact of life, that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment, there is a death that you and I have to face. The King of Terrors How will you face the king of terrors? Will you face the king of terrors with terror itself? Because you know that you have not prepared to face God? Or will you meet it with calmness, with peace, and you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I've mentioned this many times before of John Newton's words that he spoke. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he said, I am packed, ready to go. I'm sealed, packed, ready to go. Something of that nature. I'm like a parcel, just waiting for its departure to arrive at its destination. There's another good old bishop in the 1800s, Bishop Beveridge. He translated, actually, John Calvin's Institutes. And he was a scholarly man, a great evangelical bishop. And he was very old. He was dying. And as it is often the case, he was losing his mind. He forgot so many things, so many people. And people would come to him and say to him, do you know me? And he says, no. And she would say, well, I'm your wife. And he would say, well, I don't even remember I had a wife. And such things he would say. And yet someone came to him just before he died. And this person said, do you know Christ? Do you remember Christ? And he said, yes. Yes. I have known him these 40 years, he said. And I can never forget him. Can you think like that? He's talking about a friend who has stayed with him. Even when he has forgotten everyone else, every other friend, there is someone who's gone so deep within his soul that is imprinted his name upon his heart. And so he can't forget it. Yes, I know Christ. He is my Savior and friend, he said. And so there is a time coming that this life will end as we know it now. Our soul will depart, this body. There is also a judgment that will come. After death, there is judgment, the scripture says. You know, in 1833, there was a meteoric showers in Scotland. There were all kinds of things falling and the skies were becoming bright. And people thought that the end of the world was coming. And there was, in a certain godly home, there was a young boy who had early on in his life trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his mother ran up to him at night, and he said, come, son. His name was Sandy. He says, come, Sandy, get up. God's judgment day has come. So the boy leaped out, and he shouted, glory to God. I am ready, he says. To have boys like that, children like that, are ready. Glory to God. My day of glory has come. There is also eternity. That is our future too. Eternity. Death is not all that there is, as many people want us to think. Judgment is not all. For there are millions of years beyond these events. Can you count the stars of the heavens? Can you count the star or the number of the sand of the seashore? We cannot. Eternity cannot be counted, friends. And when you think about it, you think about 10,000 million years has passed. Eternity has just begun. Think about that. It is mind-boggling. Friends, we have an eternity to face. There is a Savior who says to us now, I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother to you. This is what I have done to show my love to this world that has forsaken me, the fount of living waters. And he said this once to his disciples, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, ye are my friends. Can you get that? Can you really understand it? I can't fathom this. But it is true. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But he was not a mere man. He is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, to lay down his life for his friends. He calls us friends, and yet we were from birth his enemies. How can he do that? Because by his grace, he turns our hearts from hating him, from being careless about our souls and him, to make us love him and to appreciate what he has done for us. Is that something that you are desiring this morning? Maybe boys and girls, maybe some adults here this morning. And you say, I need to know him. I need him. He is the answer to all of the things that I think about. Well, friends, here is this friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he is the friend of sinners, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the word of God, by the power of his Spirit, work in every one of us, that we might turn to him as our friend also. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its truth. And we bless thee for that person of Jesus Christ who is revealed in it. That man who walked upon this earth. That man who once we did not know him, but he knew us. And Lord, we pray that each one of us might love him with all our hearts and to be able to call him my Savior and my friend. We ask these things then through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll conclude by singing together hymn 790, the